We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we say good morning to the head coach of the Volunteers, Tony Vitello. Coach, what is it like? This is the first time in a while that Tennessee's traveled for regional play. So what is it like now going to be at someone else's place for this first weekend of the SEC tournament?
Yeah, it is different. You had 2 years of us hosting, and then you had the COVID unique year. The year prior was similar, so I don't want to say it's a deja vu vibe, but it is some familiarity of going a little bit east and playing an ACC team that has a strong tradition and is highly ranked this year. That's what we did in 19 against North Carolina. I just think that was a unique year for us because there were so many guys that didn't even know what a regional looks like. So hopefully the experience and the development within the program is something that's in our back pocket for this trip to go east to a regional.
Certainly appreciated what you've had to say about this team and just everything that it's dealt with, going from the season opening trip out to Phoenix, and then, of course, playing three of your first five on the road in the Southeastern Conference, all of them being flights. But this is certainly a team that has grown accustomed to life away from Knoxville, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, and I think it's also learned how to deal with that, whether it be playing our best ball, dealing with crowds, dealing with adversity, you name it. So if we had not won the series at South Carolina, maybe you can't quite say this, but I think we can honestly say, without trying to weave a web or spin a web, however you want to say it, I think this group's kind of seen everything there is to see, and also done everything either poorly or well that you can do as it relates to being on the road and against good competition. So that doesn't guarantee a success. I don't think anyone's guaranteed success starting on Friday, but it does help to kind of recognize what the group has been through and kind of how they've figured out a way to navigate through all that stuff.
Tony, do you feel good about that DH spot? I know you've utilized Griffin and Dylan a lot in playing matchups with them. Is that sort of the plan moving forward as well?
Yeah, and I think there will be no coach on staff on Friday that is not solely focused on the game against Charlotte and finding out whatever we got to do to win the game. But you look at it now and you got a guy in Griffin Merritt that's fighting for his life, literally his baseball life. And then you got Dylan Dreiling, a guy who's literally the future of Tennessee baseball. We need them both to win. And both guys swung the bat very, very well since the end of our time in Hoover. We've obviously gotten some live at bats and some BP. So the bottom line is we need both guys to perform well, and we'll use both guys.
Anything about Clemson's ballpark, that their stadium, that is of note that you will be aware of?
Yeah, I think two things. Our guys, as much as I tell them, don't worry about, what people are saying, where they think we're going to go. You don't know where you're going until they announce it. Now, of course, there's always a media leak, and we find out before the show. But that's a whole nother topic. And I think that the bottom line is the guys were craving to go to an SEC type environment. And, careful what you ask for. That's what you're going to get. It's going to be a rowdy place regardless of what two teams are on the field. And then as far as the dimension, it's always been a park that plays more offensive than anything. So I think the guys are going to get what they're looking for. And then I think as coaches, we would probably want something that's as similar to Lindsey Nelson as possible. And to my knowledge, I've actually never competed inside of that park. To my knowledge, that park will play more similar to ours than it will be dissimilar.
What did you think in terms of the conference matching a record with 10 teams getting bids and then also 8 for the first time from any conference hosting?
Yeah, it's a great sign. I mean, you obviously want to host if you can, but it's encouraging to know in the future that there's not a glass ceiling on what the league can do. So it's brightful for the future. And then if you're just going to kind of pull the piece out about our team, it makes it even that much more frustrating that there was 8 that were able to do it and we were one that was not. But that's neither here nor there. And I think every now and then it's good to go on the road. It can be a little bit extra pressure when you're at home. So it'll be good for this club, but in the future, I think it shows that there's a great opportunity to host if you take care of business. The only big question mark or bubble over my head when I'm reading that, and also just thinking about other stuff here in the future, is how is this thing going to change when Texas and Oklahoma join the conference? There's probably some obvious ways that it'll change, and then there's probably going to be some that are unexpected that occur, and we'll talk about 3-4 years from now.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Well, and it's also unique in the fact that there's no host site in the state of Texas, which you wouldn't have thought that possible, and yet there are three in South Carolina. I think you would have been pretty successful in Vegas if you'd been able to lay something on that at the start of the season, wouldn't you?
Yeah, don't even bring that up, John, the gambling part. But
point.
It kind of has been an education for our coaching staff on the East Coast. It's not like we hadn't been out here, but none of us are from here. And now, of course, we've been in Knoxville for a long time. But one thing we came to find is baseball in the Carolinas is incredibly strong, and it's multifaceted. There's a bunch of universities. There's a bunch that are good in baseball. There's a lot of good players along the East Coast. More than I think the nation really recognizes, because you typically talk about Arizona or Texas or Florida. The other thing is the East Coast is where the Team USA trials are for all ages. So kids like Blake Burke, no matter where they're from, it could be Northern California, they flock to the Carolinas, Cary, North Carolina in particular, to compete for that opportunity to play for Team USA. So I think all of it plays a factor, but no matter how you draw it up or which year it is, North and South Carolina are baseball centers of the nation.
Tony, a lot of people have referenced Ole Miss last year as an example of, hey, the regular season or even the SEC tournament doesn't matter. It's what you do in the NCAA tournament. And one of the things that they had is experience. How much do you think experience matters in this NCAA baseball tournament to potentially play even better than you had going in?
I think experience is massive, but more importantly, leadership that comes from that experience. I'm an outsider looking in, but I feel that deal at Mississippi does not happen with a different first baseman. Their guy, Tim Elko, was, in the heart of the order and had a lot of power, talented enough to hit a home run off Joyce, let's put it that way. But I think his greatest asset was how he led that team. And you could be a great leader all year long or a poor leader all year long, but this is a fresh start, kind of like you're saying. I mean, I wouldn't say that the tournament and Hoover and the regular season doesn't matter at all. It all plays into it. But having said that, it is a fresh start this Friday for everybody, and I think leadership is going to be key. And then a little bit of it is, momentum. I had a player that always asked questions. This was about 15 years ago. Super inquisitive kid, and holy cow, we got an alarm going off here. I apologize. Super inquisitive kid, and he asked, is momentum a real thing? And it certainly is. And so if you can get out of the blocks or even out of the loser's bracket, I've been a part of teams where you get a little bit of confidence and a little bit of momentum. It can really, turn into a snowball thing. And, yeah, Hoover is a thing of the past. Regular season's a thing of the past. You got a team that's rolling right now. That's the only thing that matters. And it can lead your group all the way to a championship.
So obviously you mentioned a couple of things there with the leadership and the experience, but give me a non-obvious trait that you think your baseball team has that could, no guarantee, could lead to them having postseason success.
I think potential. Potential to still play our best ball. And maybe that's a good thing or a bad thing that I come forward with that. But I think we've had glimpses of, and I think we've been working towards our best version of 2023 Tennessee baseball. But I don't think we've completely unlocked it. And last year, probably at some point early in the season, as coaches, we whispered it. We didn't say it out loud, but we were kind of like, this is as good as it can get. Now the question is, how long can we keep this up? And really, I think we played great ball throughout the whole year. But this is a different group, and it's had a different storyline. So that potential to keep moving forward, and it's important for the guys who control more of our fate than the coaches do at this point to understand what it is to unlock the best version of our team. And that comes down to the best version of who they are as a person. Blake Burke is the same guy that hit 450-foot home runs as a guy who struggled in Hoover in that game and got frustrated a little bit. So he's not any different. His swing's not going to change. What's the thing, you know, that gets him playing his best ball? And then I could go all the way around the infield and the outfield if we weren't restrained by time. But, you know, Maui Ahuna, no one else makes that play against Enrique Bradfield. If you were at the game, you know which one I'm talking about. He's the fastest guy in the country, and he makes an incredible play. I'm not so sure Maui doesn't make that play if he and Bradfield aren't teammates at USA and there's a little bit of personal competition there. So what draws out that edge in each player, or what draws out just that best version of each player that we have? And if you throw it all in a bucket and the whole group's doing it, it's a pretty fun group to watch.
I know since you've been at the University of Tennessee, you've had a fantastic relationship with the Lady Vols softball. How excited are you for what they have in store for them as they tomorrow open College World Series play?
Yeah, more than you know. You know, I texted both Ralph and Karen. They're so good to us, and it's been fun to kind of watch how they lead and interact with their players and also just the community. Those are two role models in a bunch of different ways. So, pretty awesome. I was disappointed I couldn't be there. I was watching the JUCO World Series, when they played that super here in Texas, but, what a time it would be to win a national championship. Really, I know Karen's at the helm now, but for both those folks, it would be phenomenal to see. So it'll be a good little distraction when we got to fill some hotel time is keeping up with the Lady Vols softball squad.
Well, have safe travels on your way to Clemson today. And, of course, we look forward to all the action and being on hand there at Clemson. Coach, we sure do appreciate it. And tip of the cap for a dusting off triumvirate yesterday and your comments with the media.
I appreciate it. Every now and then I accomplish something.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you all.
That's Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, and his appearance brought to you by Buddy Greg RVs and Motorhomes.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.